last hour with ParamountSports.com. All three of us combined last week 11-4 against the spread.
Wow.
Unfortunately for me, you know, you and Lee are tied. I'm still three behind you guys. So although I've been the champ the last 2 years, I've got some making up to do. But we have plenty of time, fortunately for us, for me to do so.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know what? We've got plenty of time. And you know what? I'll say this. Not only plenty of time, but there's plenty of mistakes that I know I'm going to make. You guys are, you know, you guys are pros. I'm gonna. I can see myself.
Stop! No, don't do the fake humbleness there. Stop with that. I was intrigued, by the way, because last week we seemed to be on the same page with most of the games. This week, there's only one game where all three of us are on the same side, and that's Kansas City. Given the 4 to Houston, we feel like that. You know, based on what happened to Kansas City last week, and no offense in the second half whatsoever against Indianapolis. Just from a matchup standpoint, this is a perfect matchup for Kansas City. I just think they'll just simply outscore Houston in this one.
Yeah, probably so. Like, I think I agree with you, you know, and there's something weird going on with this line. I mean, what did it open up with, like, 8, 8.5, somewhere around there? And then, I mean, it's dropped that far. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to get Kansas City at 4, yeah, I'm probably going to take that any day of the week. But something's up. I don't know if they see something with you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, with an ankle, something like that. I don't know. But something's interesting about this line. Or maybe it's just there to confuse everybody.
It's called overreacting to what happened last Sunday. That's all that is. It's just like we look at Tennessee and Denver, for example. And, I mean, first of all, Tennessee looking for their first win in Denver, or this franchise first win in Denver since 1987. The good news is that they've only seen each other twice in Denver. Only, get this, what is wrong with the NFL if this is only the third appearance for this franchise in Denver in 27 years?
Wow, that's incredible. You know, yeah, I agree with you. You wouldn't think that it would be like that, where it would be that long, you know, in terms of only getting three in that span. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, they've seen each other a little bit more than that, but most of the games, you know, we're talking about one in Houston. But, you know, even here's the thing, too. Since these two teams played in Houston in 1995, they didn't see each other again until 2004. That game played here in Nashville. And so this is only the seventh time these two teams have taken the field as the Tennessee Oilers / Tennessee Titans.
That's incredible. You just never think that, you know, with how scheduling is and, you know, how they like to kind of diversify that around. You think that it would happen more. But you know what? I like it. I'll say this. The Titans and Broncos statistically have both been anomalies this season. You have no idea what you're going to get. So it makes sense that these two teams don't see each other. It makes sense in Denver that the temperature dropped, 2 days ago, 63 degrees, and then rising back up to 70. So give me all the weirdness. This game's going to be odd. Might as well make everything odd around it, too.
Well, the other part, too, and it feels like you, along with Eric Bacharach with the Tennessee and myself, we finally got this team figured out. Just when we do, however, we probably won't. But because of that, this game, Denver should win this game, and that's why they're not. that's why all three of us have the Titans finding a way to get this done on Sunday, because they shouldn't, based on the way they've played this year. But this is the time when they're up, and so because they're up, they'll find a way to get it done in Denver on Sunday.
Yeah, you're probably right, you know, and, you know, my explanation was I'm really playing the 2 points more than I'm playing the team. I'll say this. I was going through kind of the tale of the tape about these two teams earlier this week, and, you know, Denver, I've seen every game that they played this year. If you want to know who the Denver Broncos are, the reason why they had 4 losses, take the win last week over the Chargers out of it. The reason why they have 4 losses is their season has basically been exactly what the Titans were against the Bills. Drive all the way down, just pure madness happens, field goals are getting missed, fumbles, I mean, every kind of crazy thing that you can imagine. Like, that's what their season has been. The Broncos are a better team than people think. So it's going to be tight. It's going to be close. That 2 makes sense. But, yeah, I'm going to play it. If I can get 2 points with the team who we think should go out there and do it, I'll take those out there again.
I threw this out last hour, and I'll see if you agree with me or not. I was talking about how I miss, you know, working in sports, in the sense that when I worked inside sports, I was able to have conversations with coaches when I wondered, okay, what were you thinking there in that situation? And what played out? Who was on board? Who wasn't? Was it your decision alone? Because coaches would be honest with me and tell me when, hey, I just messed up there, Johnny, or whatever. I bring it up because I look at the Titans situation. We go back to what transpired against Indianapolis when you really, nobody in the building, including Indianapolis, was going to be drawn off sides, and so you gave up 30 seconds in that situation. Or we look at Atlanta where you kick the easy field goal and you're up by 3 scores when you know the Falcons are not going to score 3 times in the fourth quarter. Or last week with sending out your field goal kicker just because, oh yeah, coach, I'll take that opportunity, although your better judgment tells you not to send him out in that situation. I bring it up because I would like to know if everybody is on board with regards to, you know, when you look at this matchup with and these decisions, if it's just Mike Vrabel overruling folks, or the other situation, you have a lot of yes folks, or somewhere in between. Because if it's just one person overruling everybody, you know, you would hope that time will, you know, you will be able to correct that. But if everybody is on board with some of these decisions, then there's a bigger problem.
I'm with you, man. Like, that's the hard part is that, you know, I can't figure Mike Vrabel out, you know, because, like, last night, okay, I'll give a perfect example. Last night we were watching the Giants and Patriots game, right? So I already knew from last week that the Patriots and Bill Belichick had no confidence in their kicker, Mike Nugent. Knew it coming in, saw the weather, you know, there's a chance for inclement weather. It was going to be windy. I already had a feeling. I was like, unless it is just automatic, they're not going to go to Mike Nugent, right? And it made sense. They went for it, you know, I think on the first drive on fourth down. So with Mike Vrabel, it's almost like everything that you think that you would do, he does the opposite. And it's kind of like this team. Like, he fits the Titans really well in the sense of, like, every time that you think you've got a read on him, he does the exact opposite. And it's almost like he does it to keep you at bay. I don't know, man. It's wild. I agree. Like, last year, I agree with the Chargers call in London on fourth down. I liked it. I really liked the aggressiveness. And I like that, in a sense, he does play aggressive. But last week, like, there's no reason to bring Santos out for that last field goal at all. Like, everyone on the planet, people on the moon could have told you, there's no chance this dude's going to hit this at all. So I just find it interesting, man. There seems to be one each game where you kind of scratch your head and you're like, what is Vrabel thinking? I'd love to know what's going through his head back there.
Having a chance once again to visit with Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. We finally get a first victory for either Washington or Miami. It's taken a while. The fact that it's taken 6 weeks, but one of these teams will walk off the field. If you're the Tennessee Titans, you want Miami to win this game because Washington, you know, with the fact they drafted Haskins last year, you know, they've got their quarterback in the future for their future, right? So you want Miami to win this game on Sunday. But here's the Redskins, 0-5, Dolphins 0-4. My gut tells me, though, here's the Redskins, Jay Gruden gets fired. The Redskins will find a way to get it done on Sunday.
Yeah, they should. Now, let me say this. And I don't ever, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just providing another option. Somebody doesn't have to win this game. Like, this game could end in a tie.
Oh, very good point. Very good point.
It could be pure insanity. I'll say this. The Redskins should win. They're the better team. It's going to be interesting to see each team, like, their fans, like, kind of pulling for each other. Because pretty much, whoever loses this game, we ran the odds in Sportsline yesterday, actually. Whoever loses this game is going to be basically at a minus 400 to earn the number one pick in the 2020 NFL draft. And next closest will be like plus 500, right? So whoever loses this game. Now, the crazy thing, though, is this, is that also whoever loses this game has decent odds at going 0-16 this year, especially if it's Miami. So we'll see. But, yeah, if these two teams end in a tie, just society shuts down as a whole. There's no more laws. Just pure craziness, you know, gets to take over.
The last thing that anybody wants outside of Washington and Miami is a tie. You want one of these teams to have a loss because a tie is like a W if you're trying to, you know, be in a situation where you're in better position as far as the draft is concerned.
Oh, you, I mean, you're exactly right. Like, and who wants to be, like, I know that you're just like me. Like, each week, you know, you're really good with numbers and you like having all the data in front of you and, you know, pulling all the different scenarios as we get to, like, week 14, week 15, 16, 17 of, you know, X team has to beat Y to get in the playoffs, or X team, you know, loses to Y to, you know, move up in the draft. Like, I know you love doing that. None of us want to deal with this tie thing between these two teams, because it's just going to make everyone's brains hurt trying to figure out which team is worse. You're right. Somebody has to win. Somebody has to lose.
You know, if you want to watch a game just for entertainment purposes, you know, one that, believe it or not, should be really intriguing. Now, you have to get up a little early because it's being played overseas. But 8:30 kickoff Sunday morning, you've got Tampa Bay 2-3 going up against Carolina 3-2. You know, Kyle Allen, the way he's playing, and then you've got a rejuvenated Jameis Winston for Tampa Bay. Should be a lot of offense. Should be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it really should. And, you know, what I like about the international series is that, you know, if you're kind of not necessarily in a slump, because neither of these teams are, but it's kind of an equalizer, right? Like, it can kind of get your season back going. And, you know, both of these teams, you know, shoot. You look at the Panthers, they are on fire with Kyle Allen. Their last 13 games, they've won their four that he started, and they're 0-9 in the games he didn't start, right? Like, they are on fire with him. Christian McCaffrey gets a little extra rest this week. Lord knows that he needs it. And then, like you said, with the Bucks. So both of these teams can really use this game and this trip as a springboard, you know, to get themselves in a position in the NFC South to kind of do some damage if it presents itself later. The Saints are on, you know, just an incredible run. So, yeah, I mean, it's really early. Football at 8:30 in the morning, you know, you feel like you're in Las Vegas or something. But I like it, man. It's different, and we got two teams that are, you know, really kind of on a well-playing streak, so to say.
Al, this brings up an interesting dilemma, and I'll be interested to see where this goes, because, you know, Jacksonville's going to be facing this down the road, too. I don't know if Nick Foles gets his job back over Gardner Minshew, but the other one with Cam Newton, when he's available, if Kyle Allen keeps enjoying success as the quarterback for the Panthers, do you replace Kyle Allen with Cam Newton?
No, yeah, I know. It's a great question. I'll say this. There are two things that are going to be going against Cam Newton. One, let's just be honest. The fan base, just they're not all in on Cam Newton. Some people really love him. Some people really don't like him at all. And two, you got a head coach in Ron Rivera who, he's not necessarily at Dan Quinn, you know, levels of fighting for his job, but he's not exactly safe either. So he has to play the hot hand. He has to go with whatever got him to the dance. So if they finish this season, and I know it's going to be tough, you know, to get in the playoffs, because one, the NFC is really difficult all around, and two, the Saints are looking like they might be the number one seed in the NFC coming out of that division. So even if they don't get there, but they have, say, you know, a 9-7 type season like the Titans did last year, where it's good and you can build on it, there's no way that Ron Rivera can give that job back. He has to continue with Kyle Allen. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. This offseason is going to be very interesting in Charlotte.
Seattle 4-1. Russell Wilson, if there was somebody by the name of Patrick Mahomes not in the league, then I think a lot more folks would be talking about how spectacular Russell Wilson has been so far this year. I mean, he's putting up the kind of numbers that will certainly get him into the conversation as far as the MVP is concerned. Really interesting game here as they go into Cleveland, the Browns 2-3, and the Browns well, basically are what I thought they would be. I wasn't buying into them as far as go ahead and just paint the way for them into the Super Bowl this year with Baker Mayfield and company. I think Baker Mayfield has a lot of growing up to do. He reminds me so much of what Jared Goff went through his rookie campaign before he grew up. I think Baker Mayfield is a year behind Goff from that standpoint. So I bring it up because, you know, the way Seattle's been playing, Seattle can go in anywhere and win a game right now. And now, because of that, you know, the Browns, kind of like the Tennessee Titans, when you expect one thing, you get the other. So this game, you're expecting probably Seattle to go in there and get the W, and that's why the Browns will find a way to get it done.
I like the way you think.
The way the NFL is playing out. I mean, I'm finally figuring this out. So just when you think you're going to get this, you're going to get the opposite of it.
So as soon as you feel confident about something, fade yourself, right?
It basically is. That's exactly what we're talking about.
I like it. You know what? At least, you know what? I'll say in strategy in my life, that's probably a good play. Whenever I start to feel really smart about something, just fade it, right? It's going to go the other way. But no, I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, Cleveland, that's how they are, right? Like, that's how they've played. And, you know, on top of that, of what you just said, this isn't necessarily a must-win because Seattle, you know, is in the NFC. But they got to figure this thing out. They're going to have to get going because, you know, Baltimore is not going to let up. And I know that, you know, they've got their own questions. However, you know, them going in, pulling out a win in Pittsburgh, like, Baltimore is kind of doing what Buffalo is doing in terms of you look up and they're just collecting wins and they're just collecting them and you're just kind of running out of time. So Cleveland's going to have to get on the gear here immediately. You brought up Russell Wilson. I mean, this dude, like, he, if you look at his stats this year, compare him to 5 weeks throughout, you know, his entire career, they're just number one, number one, number one. He's literally having a career season. I think he's sitting at, what, like 12 touchdowns, zero interceptions, something around there. The guy's literally playing perfect football. Perfect football. Now, the line is like, what, 1.5? It's a really tight line. Seattle does have its issues in terms of, you know, just scoring overall in terms of defense. But just you're right. You can't ever count him out. Like, you can't count out Russell Wilson. He's going to bring it every single week. So I can't wait to see it. It's just another one of those weeks where we get AFC, NFC teams battling against each other, and you kind of figure out who these teams are. Like, I think that's the biggest thing right now. Like, you're not going to define the playoffs, but let's get an idea. Like, I think we'll all have a better idea who the Titans are after this week, who the Seahawks are, the 49ers and Rams. Like, there's so many kind of just statement message defined type games. I can't wait to see them.
Alan Bell joining us again with CBS Sportsline. What's wrong with me as a fan of the NFL when I'd rather watch a Panthers-Bucks game or, you know, see New Orleans take on Jacksonville other than Philadelphia on the road taking on Minnesota Sunday? You could tell me right now that, hey, we're going to send a jet for you. We're going to fly you up, take you back. You'll have seats on the 50-yard line for Minnesota-Philadelphia. And I would go, no, I'd rather explore Nashville Sunday afternoon with my wife, and then we'll watch the game later in the day as far as the Titans in Denver, rather than make that trip. There's just nothing about either one of these teams. I know they're above-average teams. One of them very well could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I have no interest in either one of these teams. What's wrong with me?
No, nothing's wrong with you. And the crazy thing about it is this, is that both teams are good. Like, you know, they have aspiration to be playoff teams. You know, you just don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, with the Vikings, you look at them, and their run game's been really good with Dalvin Cook, and their defense is really strong. But Kirk Cousins has been awful, like just having an awful year. And their offense is just kind of putrid to watch at times. Then you look at the Eagles, and they're kind of the same way. Like, Carson Wentz, like, they're winning games. Heck, they're leading the NFC East right now, right? Like, they are winning ball games. However, it's not pretty. And you look and see what they did last week. Like, that was largely a defensive effort, you know, that got them that win. It's just one of those odd, weird games that, you know, like, you don't want to watch it. However, I guarantee you, when we're in week 15, week 16, week 17, this game's going to mean something to both of those teams because they're probably going to be fighting either for their division or a wild card head-to-head against each other.
I guess it's like, you know, give me Dan Marino, give me Brett Favre, give me Peyton Manning. I wasn't a quote-unquote fan of any of those guys as far as but, you know, when they were on, I'm paying attention. Carson Wentz, doesn't do anything for me. Kirk Cousins, doesn't do anything for me there either. It's almost like watching Buffalo last week, and I was covering the team after the game in their locker room, and I'm thinking in the roster, I'm going, who are these guys? I don't need more than one hand, and I cover them, and I would know everybody on the roster for the most part. But as far as the general fan, if you're not a fan of the Bills, yeah, you know Josh Allen is a quarterback. You know they still got Frank Gore. Everybody else, like, who are these guys? And it's just, to me, it's almost like the same thing. You know, I understand how good these two teams are. They just don't do anything for me. It's not must, because I'm not a fan. I don't have to be a fan to really enjoy a game. In this case, I'll pick door number three, and that's just why I look at it.
I don't blame you at all. Like, I completely agree with you. Like, there's nothing about it that excites me, you know, either. And I think that's why, that's what makes Sunday so great, is that you do have so many options. And there's, you know, each week there's so much parity in the league. Like, you could look at this Titans Denver game and say, all right, you've got a 1-4 Broncos against a 2-3 Titans, and I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I bet it's one of the more entertaining games of the day. But I'm with you. Eagles Vikings are just nothing.
You just jinxed it. Now we're going to get now a 10-7 slugfest now after you just threw out there, and it's
And
it's not because of outstanding defense necessarily. It's because lackluster offenses. So a game decided by a field goal late. So great. That's what you've wished upon us now for Sunday. So thank you
very much. That's what Mike Vrabel wants, a game decided by a field goal. He definitely wants that one.
Well, we were joking about it, honestly, last week in the press box, talking about the Tennessee Titans have turned into an NBA team where just forget about the first 58 minutes. Just pay attention to the final two, and the game will be decided. That's what it's now turned into, it seems like.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. And I'll tell you what, they got to quit doing that. Like, they have got to do whatever they can to get 7 points in the first quarter, 7 to 10 points in the second quarter, because this team is not built to come from behind. They're just not built. Like, it's going to reach points where they get down by 10 points. They physically cannot come back. Like, this offense is not built for it. So they have got to do whatever it takes. I don't care if you're running the option, the Wildcat, if you've got to put out Cody Parkey there at running back, whatever you have to do, they're going to have to put up points, because it's going to get bad, and this offensive line issue is going to get worse as the season goes if they don't have a lead or at least keep the game tied.
By the way, one more game I wanted to get your thoughts on. The Saints, it's the battle of the backup quarterbacks. The Saints, Teddy Bridgewater still at quarterback, as Drew Brees still coming back from his injury, not back yet. On the road, taking on the Jaguars in Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew. And, you know, everybody's fallen in love with him. And I go back to the 199th pick. Let that sink in again. When everybody's talking about, well, who are you going to get as your quarterback? Sixth round, 199th pick, and oh, by the way, did you see what he did in college at Washington State? But so you get this matchup, and I have to be honest with you, the Saints did a nice job going into Seattle. Teddy Bridgewater certainly knows how to get this team ready to go and running and playing well. Now, with that said, a nice defensive challenge on Sunday, even more so if Jalen Ramsey, if what the owner says is true, he's going to play on Sunday. This will be not a lot of points. I think points will be a premium. I'm looking at a 20-17, 21-17, could be 17-14, something along those lines.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game. You know, does Jacksonville bounce back? Do they get another win? Can New Orleans continue on this tear? I mean, the fact that they're undefeated with Drew Brees out is incredible, and they're doing it over playoff teams. So something has to give in this game. I'm with you. Also, I'll say this. Apparently, if you have the 199th pick in the sixth round of the NFL draft, you might just want to take a quarterback. All right, like it's starting to form that right around this general area, quarterbacks are starting to work out. So you might just want to pick one, whether you need a quarterback or not. But I can't wait to watch this game. I think it'll be pretty good. Something tells me I'm going to go the opposite way with you. Something tells me that this is going to be really high scoring. I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to air it out. I think he's going to need to. I think that this game, if there were any game that I were going to pick this week to play the over, it's absolutely this one.
Before we let you go, remind the listeners what they can expect with CBS Sportsline.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we're CBS Sportsline, you know, the brand. You know, really what we try to do is just provide, you know, a statistical analysis, you know, an expert pick type of look. If you're somebody who likes to bet, wager on games, we're going to simulate each one 10,000 times, college or pro, baseball as well, get you a projected score, kind of grade those bets. But if you're somebody who just likes a look at you know, analytics and different ways to look at games, we're going to have that for you too, so you don't have to bet. So, you know, go to sportsline.com, check it out, click around. I think you'll really enjoy it.